Jamie Locker with you on this Thursday afternoon on the Green Zone. Soccer's on. The World Cup is underway. This week in sports is ridiculous. World Cup starts. NBA Finals, nuts. The Stanley Cup Finals, nuts.
Insane.
The Riders opening game of the season on Saturday against the BC Lions.
Golf!
The Canadian Open's going on. By the way, AJ Ouellette and Nathan Rourke on the show today. One's at 3:05, one's at 4:05. Outside of playing in the Canadian Football League, what do those two have in common?
They were teammates in Ohio.
Ohio University teammates. I wonder if they have any dirt on each other. You think?
Who do we get first?
We get AJ first.
So we'll figure out what the dirt is on Nathan, and then we'll figure out what the dirt is on AJ after that.
Like radio-friendly dirt. We're not looking for, like...
stole a car.
Yeah, we don't need that stuff.
Yeah.
Like fun stuff. We don't want to ruin anybody's character here on the Green Zone. We just want to have some fun. So AJ Ouellette, Nathan Rourke coming up. Matthew Schenetti with more on a preview on who is going to win the World Cup. He has Canada covered. They announced their roster as well officially about an hour ago as they submitted their lineup. Meanwhile, we also have Bill Price from Raleigh, North Carolina, head of Game 5, NHL.com editor-in-chief. Britton Gray is going to be here as well. Am I missing anybody? Did I get everything?
I want to know about the peach cobbler in Carolina from Bill. Apparently the media gets fed really well down there.
Do you know what was awesome? Like media stuff in Edmonton at Rexall Place back in the day. They had a freezer fridge and it was full of
ice cream
Oreo ice cream sandwiches.
I never covered the team, but I've actually heard people talking about that.
Those were my favorite thing in the world.
Telling you, the perfect ice cream treat is the ice cream sandwich. You will not convince me otherwise. It's perfect.
No, the Oreo ice cream sandwich is the perfect treat. No. There's nothing better than that.
Okay.
It is top shelf.
I don't need the Oreo for the cookie. The wafer on a normal everyday ice cream sandwich is fine.
It's the Oreo ice cream sandwich. Pre-celiac diagnosis, that was in my freezer all the time. Give me that.
I thought Oreos were, they're vegan.
What?
Oreos are vegan. They're not gluten.
They do have gluten-free Oreos, but not gluten-free Oreo sandwiches.
Okay. All right.
Those are so delicious.
By the way, look it up. Oreos are vegan. When I lost that bet,
you lost a bet.
I had to become a vegan for a month. I don't want to get into it. You know what the bet was. We don't want to talk about it.
We don't want to ruin anybody's character here on the Green Zone. We've already established that today. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports stories, and a historic comeback.
That was insane.
In the NBA Finals last night.
Fox has a chance to get it. Fox has it inside, blocked by Ananobi. Brunson gets it, fires up a three. Shot no good. The chip, it's gone! It's gone! It's gone! With 1.2 remaining, Knicks take the lead. OG Ananobi, and it's 107-106.
Yes.
Former Raptor.
He is a former Raptor. OG Ananobi with the tip home winner. They're calling it the hand of OG, which is fitting with the World Cup and the hand of God. And don't get Sarah Mills started on that one. But the hand of OG last night had the Knicks win 107-106. The Knicks were down 81-52 in the third quarter. 29-point deficit. And they came back to win largest comeback ever. Everybody's comparing it to 28-3 in the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Falcons on how unlikely the comeback was last night for the Knicks. MSG was in a frenzy.
Yeah.
All the celebrities. Jerry Seinfeld, the look on his face is all time.
It was unbelievable.
Just stunned that that actually happened.
They were literally,
happened.
All those celebrities were on the court. Like, for the last quarter, it looked like they were part of the game. Like, I would have passed it to Jerry.
I would have passed it to Taylor Swift. She might be taller.
Good point.
Go for a layup. But the Knicks are now one win away. They're up 3-1. They haven't won an NBA championship in 53 years. Only one team in an NBA Finals has ever erased a 3-1 series deficit. That, of course, was, as Britton Gray pointed out yesterday, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2016, 10 years ago, against the Golden State Warriors.
Can I just make another quick observation about LeBron and our conversation yesterday? Do you notice when they play those little vignettes at the beginning of the game for the finals? Watch the players they focus on. MJ, Barkley, no LeBron.
There's got to be a LeBron in there somewhere, no?
No, I'm telling. Maybe I missed it. Anyway, NHL, Game 5 tonight in the Stanley Cup Final.
Coach, could you provide an update on Freddie Anderson, who wasn't at the skate, obviously, this morning?
Yeah, everybody's available. He skated this morning early. So that's as far as the lineup goes, that's all I'm going to talk about. Everybody's available. That's what I'm going to leave it at.
I don't know about that. I think he might be lying about Anderson. I think he's hurt. He did not skate with the team this morning. He did go out. Rod admitted this, that he went out before the team. Which, again, you talked about this when we had JB on earlier. And I guess that's a bit of protocol. If you are injured, you can send a guy out, right?
So they usually, when they're coming back from an injury, they're usually out so nobody can see.
Yeah. So Brandon Bussey looks like he'll make his second start of the final. The Golden Knights have thrived on the road, so there's no guarantee that this is going one way or the other, because they're 7-3 as the visiting team. Mitch Marner became just the fifth player in NHL history to collect 8 points, 3 goals, and 5 assists through his first 4 career Stanley Cup final games. And we got a two-day break between games 5 and 6, which is a little weird. So we got game 5 tonight, and we will not have game 6 until Sunday. And then another 2-day break if we need a game 7. And the start time for tonight, as always, 6 o'clock.
And of course, Hurricanes. It's the World Cup. The 2026 World Cup has begun.
Mexico, maybe with an opening here, and that is the only goal of the World Cup! Scored by Julian Quiñones! He might have been born in Colombia, but he's a hero of Mexico right now!
What are they playing?
And this place is shaking!
Is that their goal song or something?
I hope so, because that's awesome. It is 1-0.
That's beautiful.
For the home Mexican side, and South Africa just got a red card. That's a little aggressive on the tackle. So that was nearly in the box. Will that be a penalty for Mexico? So it's underway, the 2026 World Cup. The co-hosts, of course, Mexico, the United States, and tomorrow in Toronto, the Canadian side gets going against Bosnia and Herzegovina. They did declare their roster, and good news is top defender Moise Bombido is
in,
healthy enough to play at some point.
Okay.
Doubtful for the opener tomorrow, but Bombido stays on the roster for Canada. That is a huge boost for the center defense of Team Canada in the group stage. So Bosnia and Herzegovina is first. Then they play Qatar next Thursday. And then, of course, they wrap up their group stage against Switzerland in about 12 days from now.
4 teams in that group, right? RBC Canadian Open underway near Toronto.
Well, you know it's cold when Adam Svensson is wearing a wool cap. He's from Canada. Adam Svensson, climb within one.
Oh, yeah.
What a roll that was.
Okay, so the first round is underway at the TPC Toronto, and here's your leaderboard. We've got Saw with Thigala in at minus 6 on the day. Canadian Adam Svensson is in at minus 5. Tony Finau, he's in at minus 5. And we got 7 others also at minus 5. The top Canadians, Taylor Pendrith, Nick Taylor, and Ben Silverman, along with Roger Sloan.
Yeah, that's happening too in Toronto. Like, they don't have enough going on. And of course, tonight, week 2 of the CFL schedule kicks off.
Those Thursday night lights. Singing long live the night.
Yes, it's Thursday night football. The Hamilton Tiger Cats coming off their opening loss. They take on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who won last week. The Bombers just announced moments ago that the last ticket has been sold. So it is now 15 straight sellouts in Winnipeg at Princess Auto Stadium. Tomorrow, the Toronto Argonauts against the Montreal Alouettes. Of course, Chad Kelly returning to the field this week for the first time since 2024, back in the same building where he broke his leg at Percival Molson Stadium in 2024. And then, of course, the week 2 action wraps up Saturday at Mosaic Stadium. The Lions and the Rough Riders both opening their seasons. And as we mentioned, A.J. Ouellette coming up at 3:05. His former teammate, Nathan Rourke, will be here at 4:05 this afternoon to get you set. More coming up here on the Green Zone, including our question today. Are you cheering for Nathan Rourke to be great in his CFL career? I know he's the opponent on Saturday, but I know I am.
Okay.
I think it's important we have a Doug Flutie-esque type personality and player in this league that people are talking about. And it looks like that guy could be Nathan Rourke. 1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Nathan Rourke's coming to town on Saturday with the BC Lions. He'll join us on the Green Zone just past 4 o'clock. Our question today to you, as hearing more and more kind of people rankled a little bit the attention Nathan Rourke's getting, and I push back on that. I think we should be cheering for the Canadian quarterback Nathan Rourke to be a star, to be Doug Flutie-esque caliber, because the league needs a face.
Those are some big shoes to fill.
Absolutely they are.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to get muddy the waters with the Flutie conversation, but I understand where you're going. I think the league needs superstars, and I think the league needs to promote the stars of the league. I don't think a Riders fan should have to worry about cheering for a Nathan Rourke just because he's a Canadian quarterback.
And I don't mean in the stands. I don't mean in the stands, like, openly, like, yeah, Nathan Rourke scored a touchdown. But I mean, as, you know what, this is good for the league.
As a face of the league, yes, I agree.
And but understand it, what the league needs with Nathan Rourke.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But it's a bit of a step too far, and a lot of our texts are.
Yeah, they think
I hope
drunk.
He's junk, right? He's not a Rider. He's not my guy. But I do get that the league does need to do a better job of highlighting the stars in the league, the running backs, the quarterbacks, you know, making a bigger deal out of the, you know, the crazy plays every week, right? And every league does it.
Like, Nathan Rourke is a star in the Canadian Football League.
Yes.
Would be amazing.
The NBA does it really well. The NFL does it really, really well. Like,
and yes, I saw the one text. I'd rather his brother. Okay, he's Ryder's property, Curtis Rourke.
Yeah.
I'll cheer for that if Curtis Rourke gets let go of the NFL. I would love to see the young man achieve his NFL dream and make all the money he can and be a great Canadian quarterback down there. But if that doesn't work out, absolutely. But Rourke v. Rourke? Now, that would be like extra if they both could be stars in the Canadian Football League.
Hello.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. It is now 2-0 Mexico over South Africa as Raul Jimenez, one of the greats in the world leading Mexico into this tournament, has scored his first goal of the World Cup. So 2-0 over South Africa right now. That was in the 67th minute. Canada starts their World Cup journey tomorrow, 1 o'clock Saskatchewan time, against Bosnia and Herzegovina. Hockey fans are anticipating and more drama, I'd imagine, tonight in Raleigh, yeah. North Carolina. This series has,
I have no idea what to expect,
been so entertaining. Bill Price is in Raleigh covering, of course, as he always does, for NHL.com. He is the editor and chief. He's based out of New York, so I'll start with this. Bill, I was a little surprised not to see in your courtside seats last night for that Knicks game.
Yeah, I gave my seats to Chalamet, so he went to the game since I'm busy here covering hockey. So,
but, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny, and I was watching that game, and I was ready to go to sleep at halftime. I'm like, I think the Knicks might come back, but that series has been like this Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Like, no lead is safe. It's been crazy. I don't think I've seen, just in this series, in the hockey series alone, I've seen four back and forth crazier games. And, you know, with the way things were going, I was like, the Knicks will probably come back. Just it's unbelievable what went on last night and what's gone on in this Stanley Cup final so far.
So one of the Game 5 storylines for the Stanley Cup Finals, Bill, is obviously the goalie situation for Carolina. And I know you took in practice today. Any updates on the Anderson Bussey situation for the Hurricanes?
No, Rod Brind'Amour wouldn't commit to a goalie, said everyone's available. Freddie Anderson was not on the ice during the morning skate, but he said he was on the ice before the morning skate. I really don't know what's going on. I would expect Bussey to start.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, and Rod has not explained it, is, you know, he says Anderson's healthy, says he's fine, but how does he go from being your starter in the first three games, the entire playoffs, to not even dressing, you know? Something's going on. I don't know if he's hurt or something, but it's weird that he's not even the backup. You know, he wasn't the backup the other night, wasn't at the morning skate today, so I don't know what's going on. But, Rod wouldn't give us anything. He's playing a little cat and mouse, but I would think Bussey is the starter probably tonight and the rest of the way at this point.
Of course, you talked about the entertainment value of this series, and it's ridiculous. On every game, two-goal leads have evaporated. They've gone away. Never happened before. I went back. The last time we've seen a Stanley Cup final consistently game in and game out this close was Pittsburgh-San Jose a decade ago, Bill. Like, where do you put this series in terms of entertainment value and how close these games have been through the first four from the ones you've seen in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I've been at this is my, I guess, 10th or 11th Cup final since I've been at the league. This to me, since I've joined the league, stands out as the best one, most entertaining one. Like you mentioned, Pittsburgh, San Jose, and I remember, I think one game went to overtime. It just, that always sort of felt like Pittsburgh was going to win, was going to find a way, especially after I think they won the first two games at home. We were talking the other day, even the Florida-Edmonton series that went seven games 2 years ago, Florida was up 3-0, Edmonton came back, and, you know, game seven was a really good game, but you still always felt Florida was going to win. I have no idea who's going to win this one. It's crazy. Just when you think you kind of have it figured out, you know, after Vegas wins that game three the other night where they're up 4-0, blow the lead, and then win on a fluky goal, you figure, all right, well, maybe this is their year. And then Carolina comes back, wins the game. They kind of get a, I don't want to say a fluky goal, but Jordan Staal's goal where he's falling down and floats it in his backhand. So I don't know. I think we're probably going seven on this. I wouldn't be surprised the way this is going. But, yeah, from in my most recent memory since I've been at the league 10 years, I think this is by far the most entertaining and by far most back and forth and really, the one that's really up for grabs. Like, I have no idea who's going to win this series.
Also interesting, the Conn Smythe conversation, because every night there seems to be a new guy that might be a front runner. Have you got somebody right now that you would give it to if you had to after last or game four?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes per team, right? I think if it's Vegas, it's probably Mitch Marner. If it's Carolina, I guess Jordan Staal at this point, after what he did the other night. Maybe even a Logan Stankoven. He's had a great playoffs, but I still think that's up for grabs. But yeah, I don't know. I think coming into this round, there was talk about maybe Carter Hart or maybe even Freddie Anderson being candidates, but I think that's out the window for both of them.
Yeah, that ship sailed.
But yeah, I think it's either Marner for Vegas or maybe Jordan Staal for Carolina, but. Again, we don't know what's going to happen, and we might still have three games, and that might determine the winner of that. So,
yeah exactly. All of a sudden, Jack Eichel gets hot, and maybe he...
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
He's not fine in the back of the net, but he's, like, setting everybody up.
Oh, he's so dangerous. Yeah. And John Tortorella kind of talked to about Jack leading up to this game and saying, you know, he has another level. And if Jack Eichel finds another level, Bill... Sorry to Carolina, but I think that parade's in Vegas in a couple of days.
Yeah. And he admitted today in the morning skate that he has to be better. He's trying to get better every game. But, yeah, the other night, and it just shows you how thin the margins are, right? He hits the crossbar the other night while it's still tied before the stall goal. I agree. Eichel is a game breaker. He might be, of all the guys on the ice, for both teams, maybe the most talented player. Yeah, and if he gets going, you're right. Vegas could win this thing. But you could probably say that for guys on Carolina, too. So, again, this is it's crazy. I can't wait for tonight. Usually at this point in the series, some of us who are writers, we're like, all right, let's just get this over with. We want to go home. But I think all of us can't wait to see how this plays out and are kind of hoping it goes seven just to because it almost deserves to go seven at this point.
Let's dig into that a little bit. What franchise has the better food for media?
Oh, man. I think Vegas, it's been okay.
Keep hearing about this peach cobbler in Carolina.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay away from that. So, Vegas definitely, during the game, they have like this big... It's almost like a fishbowl full of peanut M&Ms. So that seems to be the most popular stop for all the sports writers of anybody covering it. So
get them right at the heart.
On both sides. My colleague Sean Rourke jokes that the NHL stands for the Never Hungry League, covering these games because it seems like there's a meal everywhere you turn. So.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They treat you right, as they should on the traveling scribes who haven't seen their own bed for probably a couple of weeks for some of these guys. But shouldn't complain too much. You get to watch some quality hockey. What's it been like dealing with John Tortorella through this series? Because there's a lot of, you know, especially what happened earlier in the playoffs and getting fined and everything and watching him take over this team. He has that persona. But how has Torts aged well, so to speak, in his dealings with the media or not?
He's about the same. Like he's funny. Like there's days where he'll give really good answers. I think that the trick is asking him a good question. Like if you ask him a yes or no question, he's just going to say yes or no. That's you know, he doesn't want to give you much. But if you ask him a question, about one of his players, he'll expand it. Don't ask him about the other team. He won't talk about the other team. Don't ask him about any things he's picked up about his team because, as he said right to my colleague Sean Rourke yesterday, I'm not going to tell you. So, but he certainly makes it interesting. But, no, I mean, he's, you know, when he gives good answers, he's very insightful, sheds a lot of light on what it is. And it's funny. I think both of these coaches, you know, Brind'Amour and Tortorella, obviously it's a high pressure what's going on here. But I think these guys have to love what's going on. Like, it's such an entertaining series, so back and forth. You know, everybody, even though they work in the game, are hockey fans. So I'm sure at on some level they are loving this. It's got to be stressful. You know, being the coach, you don't really have full control of what's going on. But, you know, both guys are playing it tight to the vest. But I would think they must be enjoying themselves. And, you know, you got a guy like Brind'Amour who's been trying to get here for years and years with this team. And then a guy like Tortorella who showed up in the end of March and now he's in the Stanley Cup final less than 2 months later. So it's pretty crazy.
No disrespect to Torts, but if we're talking about Torts, that's a good segue into Babcock. How much are you guys, all the press following this this series, how much are you talking about what's going on in Edmonton?
Yeah, we are talking about it. You know, from a league standpoint, we usually, on NHL.com, we really won't write about anything until there's something official. Either the Oilers say they're hiring him or the league, you know, we've seen the reports. The league says they're investigating him. But, you know, we have Derek Van Dees traveling with us, who is our writer in Edmonton. So we're kind of joking around about him if he's, you know, prepared for the Mike Babcock experience in Edmonton. So, yeah, we're monitoring it. It's interesting what's going on. Like, there's so much stuff flying around. You don't know what to believe anymore. You're not sure what's true. You know, the latest I saw today was the stuff with the phones in Columbus is not what made him resign, that there was something else. So who knows? I just wonder what the Oilers are thinking. It's certainly an interesting move. Maybe it's Connor McDavid saying, let's get a guy in here who can get us a cup in 2 years. Maybe he's not here for the long haul, but gets me a win. I don't know. It's certainly interesting, but you know, you start looking at the candidates, since we know they want Bruce Cassidy, but they're not going to be interviewing him. They probably want a guy who's experienced with big time players, big star players like a McDavid or Dreisaitl. So maybe that's where they're coming from.
Enjoy Game 5. Enjoy the series, and we'll chat with you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
That is Bill Price, editor in chief of NHL.com, here on the Green Zone from Raleigh, North Carolina, where Game 5 will be played tonight. Any predictions? I am like Bill. I have no idea. Zero clue.
I know what I want to happen.
Yeah, you want to 6-0 for the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's very different from what will probably take place.
Yeah, Carolina will go up 6-0 and then blow the lead and we'll go to overtime or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens in sports these days. 4-0 lead gone. 29-point lead in the NBA Finals.
Poof. Again, this is a guy that was literally saying this is the worst matchup for hockey. We would have guests come on, and I would go, is this bad for hockey? John Shannon, this has got to be bad for hockey, right? Like, no one cares about this. Ratings are through the roof in the States, not so much in Canada. It's been one of the more entertaining Stanley Cup Finals I can remember in years. And I'm an Oilers fan. I was wildly entertained by the last couple of years. These have been more intriguing in my very humble opinion. And maybe it has a lot to do with the fact that I haven't got anything invested in these two teams. So I'm not caring one way or the other outside of I would like the vile organization of Vegas Golden Knights to lose. But yeah, if you're not watching because you were in my camp where you were like, Vegas and Carolina, what? Mm-hmm. Who cares? No, it's been fun.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone, this day in sports history, a shocking retirement mid-fight in boxing. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
It's up.
Let's go. Sidney Crosby, the golden goal.
Down goes Frazier.
And after 22 years, Raymond Moore.
Thomas Meek, I'll be back.
On this day in sports history, it was June the 11th, 2005. Mike Tyson says he's returning to the ring. He's going to fight Kevin McBride. And then this happens mid-fight.
It's over! It's over! Kevin McBride is the winner! Mike Tyson quits on his score! He's not coming out for the seventh round. It's all over.
Yes, Kevin McBride beats Mike Tyson as Tyson decides not to get off the stool after the sixth round. And this was the famous post-fight interview.
Mike, first let's start with you. Did you want to continue?
Well, I would like to continue, but I saw that I was getting beat on. I realized I don't think I have it anymore because I got the ability to stay in shape, but I don't got the fighting guts, I don't think, anymore.
When did you recognize that? At what part of the fight?
I don't know. Early into the fight. I'm just sorry I let everybody down. I just don't have this in my heart anymore.
And, of course, in his post-fight interview at the podium, he announced that's it. And that was his last fight, Mike Tyson, on this day in 2005. I don't count it the Jake Paul buffoonery.
No, that was stupid. It was embarrassing.
But it was Mike Tyson's last fight against Kevin McBride. He quit mid-fight on this day in 2005.